Welcome to One Interview, One World. This is Lainey Kay, and this is a show about interviewing people from all walks of life because everyone has a story to share and we can all learn from each other. I hope you enjoy listening.
So analytics is just tracking, and there's a bunch of different tools to track, but usually you want to use Google Analytics. It's a free tool from Google, and it will show you a wealth of too much information. It's like information overload, but the more data you have, the better. And usually recommend to everyone, install Google Analytics. The other tracking tools are okay. Like you might get some from Shopify or Wix or Facebook Analytics, but they're not telling you the full story. Google Analytics is going to tell you everything.
Awesome. Today, I am with Brandon Leibowitz, who runs and operates SEO Optimizers, who have been in business since 2007. SEO Optimizers are a digital marketing company that focuses on helping small and medium-sized businesses get more online traffic, which in turn converts into clients, sales, and leads. So thank you so much, Brandon, for being with me today and to share with my audience about your company and about yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me on today.
You're welcome. So Brandon, before we go into what your company does, would you share a little bit about yourself as a person?
Yeah, my name is Brandon Leibowitz. I've grown up in Los Angeles and lived here for pretty much my entire life and went to school out here and got my degree in business marketing back in 2007 and was always interested in just kind of being an entrepreneur. Always grew up loving skateboarding and had a passion for that. So in high school, started a little skateboard company or clothing company. So always wanted to kind of focus on having my own company and be my own, like being that entrepreneurial spirit. But when I went to school, I just focused more on school, not on the skateboard company that I had, which looking back, I wish I could have focused on that a little bit more. But I've tried to revamp that nowadays a couple of years ago because realized over the years, you got to follow your passion and do what you really love, but enjoy doing digital marketing and helping businesses kind of grow and getting people more visibility and more exposure online. And that's what I've been doing for the past 15 years is helping people get more traffic and more visibility. And then kind of realized I try to help myself and do what I love and focus on skateboarding and try to get that skateboarding company up and running and see if I could get that going as well. So kind of juggling those things, but really just enjoy the helping people grow as a business.
So tell me, when you decided to do the marketing and started as a business, how did that start?
After I got out of school in 2007, got my first job doing digital marketing and wasn't really planning on doing digital marketing. This company said, we want you to do digital. And I didn't really know much about it. They said, don't worry, we don't know much about digital marketing either, or mainly SEO. We're going to take it like classes and workshops and learn with you and kind of teach you or learn along the way alongside with you. And back in 2007, just realized that I feel like everyone's going to have a website in the future and SEO is a way to get free traffic. And why spend money on ads if you can get up there for free? And also you could do freelance work. So that also kind of piqued my interest is start your own company or be your own boss and do freelance work and kind of pick up clients here and there where I could just go to a local business and ask them if they wanted to rank on Google and kind of pick up clients here and there where I just work full time and be able to do a little bit of side income on this extra work on the side and keep it up. And then realize I could just keep growing that and growing that and ultimately start my own company with that, which piqued my interest a lot.
Why don't you explain SEO? Some people have a little idea about what it is, but most people don't understand it in depth.
SEO is search engine optimization, which means optimizing your website to show up in the different search engines. So when you're searching on Google, there's going to be ads at the top of Google, but right below the ads is this organic results, the free listings. And SEO is about getting your website in the free results on Google. So there's 10 listings on that first page of Google and trying to get you ranked on one of those. Also, when you search on Google nowadays, it's not just websites that appear, images appear. So optimizing all your images. Videos appear sometimes, so optimizing any videos that you might have, and if you're a local business, trying to get you on Google Maps, and just trying to take up as much free real estate as possible on that first page of Google without spending money on ads. That's what SEO is all about.
Is it only for Google, or once you do Google, it just applies to any other search engine?
Each search engine is different, but for the most part, if you optimize for Google, you should be good across the board, but every search engine is different. And you got to look at your traffic and see where your traffic's coming from. If they're coming from another search engine, then you should optimize for that one. But the majority of the traffic comes from Google nowadays. About 20 to 60% of the traffic will come from Google. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at like analytics and tracking tools, and this is me looking at websites, hundreds, maybe thousands of websites, might bring about 1%. Yahoo might maybe bring about 1%. Then you might get DuckDuckGo and all these other ones that might bring 0.5% of traffic. Then the rest comes from social media, email marketing, people just typing your website in. But the majority does come from Google. So everything really is for Google nowadays, unless you're like in China, there might be like Yandex or another search engine like that. But for the most part, Google just runs things.
Mm-hmm. And then does that apply in the United States or does that apply in other countries as well?
No, every country is different. So like China has a different search engine, right? Has regulations and restrictions, but major like Europe, they're all using Google, Canada, okay, Mexico, stuff like that. But you know, every industry is different and every person is different. So you have to look in the analytics. Mm-hmm. To see where is my traffic coming from? If they're coming from a different search engine, mm-hmm, then you might want to optimize for that. But when I've looked over the years, I've never really seen any search engine bring in more traffic than Google.
Okay.
Unless you're spending money on paid ads. So if you're spending money on paid ads on like Bing ads, then you can get more traffic from Bing. But that's the only way I've ever seen that happen.
All right. And then when you say looking at your analytics, is that looking at your website, the analytics there? What kind of things would that include?
Looking back those other platforms, they're not going to really tell you what's going on. They're going to show you what they want you to see. They're not going to show you everything. Google Analytics shows you everything. And you have to install a little tracking code on your website to be able to see that data. So sign up for Google Analytics. They're going to be a little tracking code to show that you own that website. They don't want to just give you data about any website. Mm-hmm. But once you install that tracking code, you start getting the data. If you install the tracking code in a month, you're not getting this past month's data. So I always tell people sooner than later, install that. Even if you're getting one visitor a day, that's still traffic. That's still data that you could use to make statistically informed decisions about what to do about your website, which pages get the most traffic, which products get the most traffic, or which blogs get the most people reading it. But the data's there. And if you're not using these tools, you're going to really just be guessing instead of looking at the data to help you make statistically mm-hmm informed.
And what about your social media? Is there a way to get analytics on that?
Yeah, Google Analytics will show you everything you want to know about social media. Social will show you some stuff. Facebook and Instagram will show you like engagement and stuff like that. But what happens after people leave Instagram and go to your website? Google's or Instagram's not going to show you all that information. So if you're running Facebook ads and you're just wondering what's going on, nobody's buying off my website, maybe, I mean, using Google Analytics, you'll see a lot more information. You could see that maybe 90% of the people that came to your website left immediately. It's called this bounce rate, but Facebook's not going to show you that information. Google Analytics will show you that. And I see people that are spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on Facebook ads or any ad platform, and they might have this 95% of those people coming to their website, leaving immediately, this bounce rate, but they're not known about that until we dive into it and figure out, all right, either something's wrong with these ads or your website, or landing page, or something's going off, because why are 95% of these people that you're paying to come to your website leaving immediately? There's some disconnect that we have to kind of piece it together. And Google Analytics is going to really show you that. But Facebook and all these other ones will show you analytics about like engagement, how many likes, comments, retweets, followers, and all the data, which Google Analytics won't be able to tap into. So it just depends what you want to look at. But I would tell everyone, just dive into as much data as possible. The more, the better.
Mm-hmm. What's your opinion about on a website, the response rate? Is that super important for your pages?
You have to have a good response rate, meaning your website needs to load fast.
Yes.
You want a fast loading website. If your website loads slowly, it's a bad user experience. People are going to get frustrated and hit that back button. For SEO, a lot of people think it has a big impact on SEO rankings, which doesn't really have that big of an impact currently. Definitely has an impact for people, but for Google's algorithm, there's so many variables that speed is just one tiny variable that I test all my competitors and almost everyone fails these page speed tests. But do want to, like, the faster the better. So mm-hmm definitely try to speed up as much as you can, but just be aware you don't have to make it a perfectly quick loading website for
That's
SEO.
Good to know. Yeah. And I mean, how much control do you really have? Is that just who you picked to host your website?
No, it's what you put on the website. Well,
how is it?
If you have a website, just text, then your website will load fast. Anytime you add images, you're slowing your website down. Anytime you add videos, slowing it down. Anytime you add any of these like little like widgets to like show or pull data from Facebook or Instagram, slows your website down. The more stuff you add, it slows it down. So if you want a fast loading website, you have to have a website with no images, no videos, just text, and your website will load pretty much immediately. That's why that AMP, accelerated mobile pages, was kind of popular. Still kind of is. It's on mobile. So if you're reading any article from like a big news publication, they have an AMP page. So their page is stripped of images, of videos. It's just the text from that article, and it loads pretty much immediately. But it strips away all the stuff from your website. So someone just reads that article, there's kind of just at the end, you're going to hit that back button. There's no ads or anything. So they're not really making any money, or I'm not sure how they're doing it for that one. It's a weird strategy. Not many pages really AMP because it does strip it all down. But if you want a fast loading website, you can check out that as well for AMP on mobile, which will really boost it up. But again, it strips everything down.
Okay. Tell me, when a company comes to you, what information are you looking to get from them to help them?
So I just really need to look at their website and look at the back end of the website and see what's been done to the, what changes have been made to the coding, what backlinks have been built. And from there, I could kind of just get started. It's good if they have some keywords or some competitors, but that's not really necessary because I'll just search on Google, see who's on that first page of Google for their keywords. Because usually when I ask for competitors, they're going to give me a list of competitors that are offline competitors, which doesn't really help out for digital marketing. Whoever's on that first page of Google, that's your competition. If Wikipedia is on the first page of Google, that's your competition. And if you're not competing against Wikipedia, if they're on that first page of Google, that is your competition for digital online. Offline might be way different. Like if you're a restaurant, you might have all these restaurants on your block. They're all direct competitors. But if none of them rank on that first page of Google, you don't really care for online. Offline, you still care about them, but online, it's different. So that's one thing that's really important, is just trying to differentiate those and learn that. For the most part, just really can get started without too much information from the client. But the more they give me, the better. But all that I'll be able to do by, or find by doing my research.
Okay. And so you're optimizing their website being pulled up, but do you also optimize just any kind of, like when somebody puts a search in, are you optimizing anything else for them? Like I'm wondering, like say you want to be popping up on Yelp, do you have any suggestions like how you get that kind of like, or is that something you pay Yelp for?
No, definitely don't pay Yelp. Yelp pays one of the worst companies out there. Never pay them. They don't give you much targeting with their ads, and they'll just spend that money real quickly. Like they don't let you suppress ads. So like for myself, Google or Yelp would say, all right, we're going to show you for anyone searching for anything related to digital marketing. Like if they're searching for website design, I can't tell Yelp not to show it, even though I don't do that. They just think that I do. Like with Google, you can control all that stuff. Yelp, you don't really get any control. But with all these websites, like Amazon, Yelp, they're all algorithms, and you just put the right keywords in the right places and do the right things, they're going to rank you higher. It's just like optimizing a website. I could optimize a Yelp landing page. I don't get as much control on Yelp, but I still know some things that they're looking for, like filling out all the information, having really good content on the pages, keyword-rich content, making sure your images are named with keywords, making sure there's keywords in the reviews. And I was able to get myself to the top on Yelp by just doing those changes. So if you search for SEO company Los Angeles, I'm number one on Yelp. It's not the number of reviews that matter. That's not what matters at all for any of them. I mean, it helps out for people, but for Yelp or Google Maps, the number of reviews is not what ranks you higher. It's all these other things I was talking about.
Yeah, very good. Very good. What about, do you help people with their social media sites, like ways to get more followers or things like that?
Yeah, I used to do that. But unfortunately, nowadays, with engagement so low, it doesn't really have that big of an effect. So if I get you 1,000 followers on Facebook, only 5% of those people will ever see what you post on Facebook. So if I get you 1,000 likes on Facebook, only 50 people will ever see what you post. Not having to boost that post up to advertise to the rest of those people. So getting more likes on Facebook doesn't really make sense. At least Twitter has kind of chronological. I mean, they're changing a lot. We'll have to see what happens. But Instagram is owned by Facebook, and their reach is probably maybe like 30% of your audience, of your followers, will see what you post. So that one is a little bit better, but still really low. And unfortunately, all these algorithms just make it a kind of pay to play platform for social. But getting a following is good because it builds that trust for people. They see that number, builds that credibility. But if you're trying to get your message out there, unfortunately, as a business, you're still going to have to pay these platforms. You have to pay someone like myself to get you followers. Then when you post, you have to pay these platforms to show your content to all these followers, which means you're kind of double spending nowadays, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what other marketing tips do you have for businesses?
Optimize that website for people. Get traffic to your website. That's only half the battle. How do you get that traffic to buy off your website or call you or email you or whatever your conversion goal is. But that is really the toughest thing, is optimizing your website. It's called conversion rate optimization, which is just really focusing on, once people get to your website, let's capture that visitor, or let's follow them around with remarketing ads, or let's keep yourself top of mind by just getting their email and sending out daily or weekly emails or whatever it may be. But got to keep yourself top of mind to capture that person and get them to convert into an actual lead or sale.
Well, are they selling things, or is most people, it's just a business and they're trying to get the contact in?
It just depends. Every business is different, but if you're e-commerce selling a product, then definitely want to get those sales. But if you're a service-based business, then you want someone to call you or fill out a form. Like if you're a dentist, you probably want people to call you. Probably not going to fill out a form on your website. But for myself, digital marketing, I would like them to call me or fill out the form. Either one works for me. So it just kind of depends. I'd say it's probably split kind of evenly.
And then do you feel like you get a lot of people finding you by doing, say, Google search, or is it, or Yelp?
I'd say Google brings in the majority of my traffic.
You do.
Yeah, people don't really search for SEO on Yelp. They'll search for home-based businesses on Yelp or like doctors sometimes, but even then, most people are going to search on Google and then go on Yelp and check the reviews, or they're going to go on Google, search, find someone, and then check out their social media, make sure they're a real business, check out the reviews on social, see if they could ask questions and see when their last status update was and all that stuff. But usually people kind of go on Google first for the most part, but every business is different. But I've seen Google usually is kind of the starting point for most people.
And then when you say you're going to add words that are pertinent to that business, is that all, that's all attached to in the website building part of it, of the website?
Yeah, so you want to optimize the website and put keywords in the coding areas that Google's looking at. So Google's looking at the coding for you to put different keywords in different places, and also the content on your website, putting those keyword or putting keyword rich content on the website helps Google better understand what that page is about, because Google's just reading all that text, trying to make sense of it. Google needs content. Google can't really read images or videos. So they just really rely heavily on text. The more text, the easier it is for them to understand what that page is about.
Okay. Because I know, like on my website, like it has like some places where you can put SEO words. And then I'm not sure, like, and then on a picture, is there words that are connected with a picture or a video as well or not? It's more just with text.
No, the file name is really important. So whatever the file name is for images or videos or anything, audio needs to have descriptive words in it. If it's just named image 001.jpg, that does nothing. Google can't read that. So they need you to put a file name that makes sense. Don't spam it, just be descriptive. Then when you're uploading images to your website, you can always add this little alt tag, A-L-T tag. That's another place that Google looks at for images. Videos and audio files are tricky for Google. They really, if you could transcribe them, that's going to be the best, because Google can't really understand audio yet or read video yet. They're trying to, but they can't do it yet. So they need your help. Like if you upload a video to YouTube, we'll try to create the subtitles and transcribe it for you, but it doesn't get it perfect. They need your help. And Google owns YouTube. So YouTube isn't able to do it. Google is definitely not able to do it. None of these websites are able to do it perfectly yet. They're trying to, but it's really tricky.
Okay. And what else goes into it? Like when you're doing it, why don't you maybe go a little more in depth when you're working with a client to help them?
Well, the most important thing is backlinks, building backlinks. are what builds trust up from Google, because you can put keywords all over your website. Google doesn't care really what you put on the website. They just don't trust anything anybody puts on the website. Too many people have checked Google over the years that Google just doesn't believe you are who you say you are. They want to see what are called backlinks. They want to see other websites talking about you. The more websites that talk about you, the more trust Google gives you. And then Google looks at the keywords on your website to figure out what to rank you for, but it doesn't work the other way around. Without backlinks, it's pretty much impossible to rank on Google. Google's whole algorithm started based off backlinks. It's still to this day heavily based off backlinks. It's changed a lot how they looked at them, but it's still really primarily based off backlinks, getting Google or getting other websites to talk about you. Google looks at that as kind of like a vote, like this other website is voting for you. It's kind of like a popularity contest. The more websites that you can get talking about you, the more trust you're going to be able to get. But nowadays, Google can just change their algorithm a lot. So nowadays, Google's looking for quality backlinks. And what is a quality backlink? A quality backlink means that it comes from a site that's related to you. So like if I'm a doctor and I'm getting a backlink from a restaurant, that kind of looks strange to Google. Like, why is a restaurant linking out to a doctor? But if I'm getting a backlink from a health-related website, that would make more sense. Or like a WebMD is linking out to the doctor. That makes more sense to Google. So you want sites that are related to you to be linking out to you.
Mm-hmm. And with Google, is it a lot of computerized algorithms, or is it people who are, I mean, ultimately, I guess it's the people that are designing the algorithms that are creating the polling, I guess.
For the most part. And then they have their AI where it just does it itself, but nobody really knows how it works. They keep that all top secret, but that doesn't really matter. No one is ever going to find out how Google works, but that's not what we care about. We just care about who's on that first page of Google and how much SEO have they done. That's all that matters. If you try to beat Google, you're never going to beat Google because they're going to change every single day. And that algorithm is kept top secret. Nobody knows how it works, but we do know what some of the signals are. And we go look at your competitors and see what they're doing with their backlinks or keywords and get ideas of what they're doing, what's working for them, and how we can incorporate that into our own website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when a client reaches out to you, what is the process and what is like the time frame?
Just looking at their website, kind of doing an audit to see mm-hmm. what they've done versus the competitors and where the disconnect is. Why are their competitors ranking higher than them? Or maybe why are they ranking higher than some of their competitors, and trying to look at their backlinks, their keywords, their site structure, the hierarchy, all the kind of technical aspects of building a website that go into it, and try to figure out what needs to be done to get them to the next level to really boost them up. It really just is diving into the website, looking at the coding and looking at those backlinks.
And then do you give them like a report, and then they would take the report to whoever builds their website, or do you work with their website builder? How does that work?
It just depends. If they want me to go in and make the changes, I'll make the changes to the coding, because not rebuilding the website, I'm just adding keywords in places. So it's not changing anything like that. And if they're comfortable with someone going in the website like myself, then I could go in. If they want their web developer to do it, then I give them a list of changes and they could do it. Either way works, whatever the business owner is most comfortable with.
Okay. And then are you able to show them, I guess, the analytics or the statistics of the comparison from before and after?
Yep. Using Google Analytics and different tools like that. Google Search Console is another free tool that's more geared for SEO. So Google Analytics will show you everything about your traffic. Google Search Console will show you everything about your SEO traffic. Both are free tools, and those are great ways to do month over month, week over week, and look at what's going on, what's improving, what's changing, what's not changing, and what's working, what's not working. You can dive into all that and see everything there. See if your website loads slowly, if there's any errors on your website, if you had any penalties in the past, all that will be shown to you in that area.
What is a penalty?
So if you're building bad backlinks or low quality backlinks or doing stuff that Google doesn't want you to do, instead of ranking you higher, they drop you down in rankings because they don't want you gaming the system and tricking Google. So Google's always updating their algorithm, looking for people that have tricked them. That's really why they're updating their algorithm.
Oh, how about that? Okay. And what would you say has changed over the years from when you first started doing this to now for the digital marketing arena?
Less spam. Google's cleaned up the spam. and just going for more quality results definitely is what Google's looking to do. That's why they're always updating their algorithm, is just clean up that low quality results, and also for other updates, like making sure your website looks good on mobile or loads quickly. But mainly they're just trying to clean up spam, clean up websites that have tricked Google and found loopholes in their algorithm for ways to quickly rank, which Google doesn't want you to do. But really, Google's just going for quality nowadays, and quality with the backlinks and just quality with everything. So it's not really a numbers game of I need more backlinks or I need more of this. It's I need more quality backlinks or I need more quality content on my website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else we should touch on to teach people about your company or about SEO that most people, you know, I would think a lot of people are kind of clueless on it?
Yeah, no, it's just scratching the surface. There's so much more that goes into SEO, and digital marketing is just some, it's like a puzzle with SEO. There's a lot of pieces to it. Some pieces are a lot bigger than others, like the content on your website and the backlinks are like the two biggest pieces of the puzzle. Everything else is important, but content, having really good content on your website, on each page on your website, every single page of your website needs content, about 400 words or more. The more content, the better. And having good quality backlinks. If you do those two things, you will definitely see, if you just do content, you'll definitely see a lift in your traffic, just adding more text to each single, every single page on your website, because Google loves content.
Okay. How long would you say that your relationship is generally when you're working with a client?
Well, SEO takes about 6 months. I always tell everyone, you got to be patient with SEO. It's not overnight. It's not immediate. That's where paid ads are immediate. You spend money on paid ads, you see that traction right away. But SEO, it does take time. So about 6 months to really kick in. It just depends. Every website is different. So if you've already been doing a lot of SEO and built it up, then it will go a lot faster. If you're a brand new website, it might take a year to get that traction, just because Google doesn't trust anyone. And it just comes down to the competition. Like if you're trying to sell t-shirts, it's going to be really tough because there's a lot of competition selling t-shirts. Like Amazon, Target, Costco, all these big corporations are selling it. And if you're just trying to break in, you can do it. It's just going to take you a lot of time to try to outrank those sites. And you just have to be realistic versus trying to find something more unique and niche. Something that has less competition will be a lot quicker to get up there. So it's really not one size fits all, but it does take some time. And that's the biggest thing, is just patience with digital and especially with SEO. But you'll see yourself slowly moving up. It's not like you're not going to see anything for 6 months. You'll slowly be moving from page 10 to maybe page 3 or page 2 within a few months, but not many people go to page 2 or page 3. So got to get on that first page.
Mm-hmm. And then can you, I know you said backlinks and that you said that has a lot to do with other websites talking about you. So how do you work with the backlinks?
There's a lot of different ways to get backlinks. There's tools that I could see anyone's backlinks. So I usually just start off by looking at all my competitors' backlinks and seeing who's linking out to them using Ahrefs is a tool, or Moz or SEMrush. You have to pay for these tools, but they will show you all or any website's backlinks. You can put Google in there. You can put whatever website and you can see anyone that's linking out to them. And one by one, try to reach out to these sites and try to acquire or see which ones are good. You don't want to just get every backlink, because nowadays it's all about quality. So finding good quality sites that are linking out to them, finding sites that are relevant, finding sites that are authoritative, those are the ones that you want to go after. You don't want to go after low quality sites. Maybe they have some backlinks from foreign sites or other languages. If you're not targeting that language or that country, then you don't want those backlinks. Those are going to be low quality backlinks. And if you build low quality backlinks, instead of ranking higher, you actually go down, which we don't want to happen.
Mm. There's a lot that goes into it.
Google makes it tough because they want you to spend money on ads. They don't want to make it easy. So they're happy for you to just spend that money on paid ads and make Google richer.
What do ads run with Google? Or it just varies on the industry?
Yeah, it varies on the industry. It could be 5 cents a click. It could be $5 per click. It could be $50 per click. It could be $100 per click. It just depends, but yeah, it adds up really fast. So usually it's a couple dollars per click, but it can go all the way up to over $100 per click.
And so how do you really know that click is legitimate? Or are you just trusting Google to say that's what happened.
Yeah, Google's pretty good about fake clicks, but there's always so much you could do. There's other third-party tools that you could install and utilize to help you fight off click fraud, but it's tough. Like, it's tricky. And Google, if Google's not on top of it, I don't know how these third-party tools could be more on top of it, but it's tough. You just have to trust in Google. And if you're not making that return on your investment, then you got to cut those ads off. But if Google wasn't able to prevent click fraud, Google would not be getting so many advertisers. Google's able to pretty much, for the most part, get or block most of it, but there's always some that's going to slip through.
Okay. All right. And then when you say small to medium-sized businesses, what type of businesses are you usually working with?
I just help out anyone, for the most part, that has something that seems like it could rank on Google. If you're just trying to sell t-shirts, it's going to be really tough for me. So trying to find something that has something unique about it where it's not just competing against these big corporations. Otherwise, you're going to get discouraged saying, hey, I'm not ranking after 6 months. I'm like, well, these corporations are probably spending $20,000 a month on SEO and have a whole team of people doing it. And we have to be realistic and see who is that competition. But I don't really focus on any specific industry because with SEO, it translates over. If I'm doing a realtor, then I want to target real estate websites to get backlinks. If I'm doing the doctor, I want to find health related websites. Or if I'm doing the doctor, then my keywords are going to be related to the doctor. If I'm doing the realtor, then I find keywords related to real estate. But for the most part, the overall principles and practices remain the same. It's just changing the keywords or changing the websites that you're trying to get backlinks from.
Very good. Very good. Anything else on your particular business, or do you want to talk about the skateboarding business that you're also thinking of doing or you're working on?
We could talk about either of them. We can talk about skateboarding or my business, that digital.
Do you have an actual storefront, or how do they get connected with you?
It's just a social media page that I started 5 years ago because I was helping out a company doing their social media, and they were a really big skateboard company, and they would never listen to any of the things I wanted them to do or recommended, like using hashtags or kind of like basic stuff like that. And they wanted me to post 8 times a day on Facebook, 8 times a day on Instagram, 8 times a day on Twitter, all different messaging, which back then you couldn't schedule things out. So if you were traveling or in the mountains and didn't get service, those messages on Instagram weren't able to be scheduled. At least nowadays you could schedule stuff out, but back then couldn't schedule it out. And it's pretty stressful doing that much content, and realized, let me just try to create my own page, and built my own page on Instagram and grew it to 100,000 followers the first year. And it's grown to a couple hundred thousand followers over the years, and then diversified it to go on Facebook, on Pinterest, on LinkedIn, or on Twitter, on YouTube, all these different channels just by cross promoting it. So I never really post on those, but using automation, anytime I post on Instagram, my posts go to my Facebook, my Twitter, my YouTube, my website, and my Facebook grew to 50,000 likes without me ever really manually posting. Twitter grew to like 45,000 followers, which is kind of weird for skateboarding. Not sure why it grew so much, but you never know by cross promoting, and I never have to manually post on there. YouTube has 17,000 subscribers just by me having my videos auto post on there, and then I have my website. So trying to figure out how to monetize it, because now that I've gotten all this traction, got to figure out how to turn it into a brand, which I made a couple of years ago, made a skateboarding, the bearings that go in the wheels to help it spin. So trying to build that up, because just posting videos and images is great, but got to figure out how you can monetize it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Do you help other clients then when you're working with the SEO, then do you help them understand like what you just did, like with that?
Sometimes, but social 5 years ago had a lot bigger impact. Nowadays, that reach is so low that I just tell them, unfortunately, it's more to pay-to-play platforms. You can't grow it that fast anymore like we did 5 years ago. Instagram really wants you to spend money to grow your accounts or to get that growth on paid ads. So it's trickier.
I see.
But also skateboarding is something big, like for social. Sports, news work really well on social media. If I'm working with a dentist, Instagram's not going to be their number one platform to get traffic. So it doesn't really transfer over to all those, like a realtor and all that stuff. Realtors think, I mean, it helps out to showcase like a portfolio, but in terms of getting new people, new eyeballs, really people are going to be searching on Google or searching on Yelp and then going on social to vouch for them. But for sports, it works really well.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good point. Yeah. Well, you have a good background, definitely, since you've been doing it since 2007. So that's really good.
Yeah, no, it's helped me out learning all these years and made me realize you got to follow your passion and follow what you love and like digital marketing, but prefer skateboarding a little bit more. So if I could get a skateboarding company, that would be make me a little bit happier, but don't mind doing digital. I like helping people grow or watching businesses grow and taking them to that next level.
Now, are you just yourself or do you have other employees that work for you?
I have a team of writers with SEO, it's a lot of content. So I put out a lot of content every single month. So I have a team of writers that helps you with the content and writing articles or press releases or blog posts or whatever it is, because Google needs text. Google can't really read images or videos, so they need that text. So that is one thing where you just got to have a, you have to be a really good writer or have someone helping you out with the writing if you're trying to do SEO.
Okay, that's good information. What's the name of the skateboarding company?
It's called Schralpin, S-H-R-A-L-P-I-N. Just pick some random word and that's something that people would say when you skateboard and do a trick, they'd say Schralp and try to get Schralp, but it was taken. And with branding, you want to have the same username everywhere. So Schralpin was available on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and getting the domain name, which makes it a lot easier. So you don't have to remember all these different usernames because it gets really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then that you said it's bearings for the wheels.
Yeah, start making the bearings that go inside the wheels to make them spin.
Mm-hmm. But you're the actual skateboarder, and so you post things for that as well?
So I post up-and-coming skaters, so I post amateurs and give them a place to shine because all the pros get plenty of visibility. So try to show up-and-coming skateboarders and post them. So that's what I was posting, and that's how it grew, is by just getting all these young kids or just amateur skateboarders a place to shine and showcase them to.
Oh, that's nice. What percentage of time would you say you do work per day?
I work majority of the day, unfortunately. Yeah. Trying to not do that as much, but having your own company and being your own boss and having your own, yeah, it takes a lot more time. So thought it'd be easier, but once I quit my job a few years ago, definitely working a lot more, but at least you get to pick and choose the hours that you're working, which makes it a lot better. So that's the one nice thing, is being able to say, all right, I'm going to work today, or maybe I'll take tomorrow off, or work a few hours in the morning and then take the whole afternoon off and work a couple hours in the evening. So that's one nice part of that, is being able to break it up and not be just tied down from that 9 to 5 where you have to be there.
Yeah, definitely. And then during COVID, did you see an increase in your business, or what happened during that time frame?
Unfortunately, at the beginning, lost a lot of clients because worked with a lot of local businesses, and local businesses had to shut down, and some of them never reopened, sadly, and had to kind of reshift things. But also people kind of reshifted gears around like August or September of 2020, realizing like doesn't look like anything's going to change anytime soon. And if things remain closed, you have to be online or figure out a new way to get that presence and get eyeballs on what you're offering. So then it kind of started to pick up. But before that, it was a little tricky trying to figure out what to do, because we're in that kind of just no one knew what was going on or knew what to do and when things would reopen or if they'd be able to reopen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that makes sense. And things are back to normal now, or are they better?
Yeah, for the most part, they're normal-ish, but city's different and just depends where you live. But I'm in Los Angeles, so it's not the same, but it's getting back to normal-ish. But online has definitely been picking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that that's the way a lot of things are going. And luckily, we have Zoom and we have so much easier ways to communicate with people. So that's the positive of it.
Mm-hmm. Makes it a lot easier. So if we didn't have all this 5 years ago, it would have been tough. But now, this way is to be connected. It makes it a lot easier.
Being your own boss, you would prefer that over working for somebody, though, even though you're working like a lot of hours. It's just, I would assume that makes you feel better.
Yeah. I don't think I could ever go back to a normal 9 to 5 job after having the flexibility and the freedom that you're able to get by having your own company. So it's definitely worth the extra hours that you're working because you see it all paying off.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you. I like to ask people, what do you feel humanity needs to work on to make our world a better place?
Just being more kind and respectful to one another. But water is probably another big one, is making sure that everyone has water, clean drinking water, because without that, like, water is life, and it's tough to get water in a lot of places, sadly. And we need to just be more considerate and compassionate towards others and realize that just because we have access to everything with just a turn of a knob, most people don't really have that luxuries, and gotta just help everyone out and treat everyone equally.
Do you do any kind of volunteering or help out in the world yourself?
I try to help out with others and try to just be kind and just do the best you can and focus on donating to some charities that you think will help out and do better in the world.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing about yourself. How do people reach you or get in touch with you?
Also, for anyone that is listening or watching, I create a special gift for them. If they go to my website, seooptimizers.com, that's seooptimizers.com/gift, they could find that there and find all my contact information there as well.
Wonderful. That's perfect. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks for having me on today.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. You too. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye.